You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, the Israel-Palestine conflict refuses to go away as land confiscations and settlement continues in occupied Palestine, with the Israeli parliament having just passed a bill legalizing outposts on Palestinian land, despite overwhelming international objection. New Zealand even had a role, leading the recent UN Security Council resolution which found such settlement expansion to be a violation of international law. But to get an idea of how this affects those actually living in the area, I spoke to a New Zealander who's just returned from Palestine and filed this report. Explosions and the chatter of children fill the streets of Bethlehem as Palestinian protesters collide with Israeli forces in the latest set of struggles between the two nations. A young boy sprints after a tear gas canister that has been launched onto his side of the street. He has only seconds to throw it away before it detonates. This time he's successful, and those alongside him throw rocks back in retaliation. This particular scene was captured by New Zealander Rochelle Rees, who has just returned from a trip to Palestine assisting the Palestinian-led International Solidarity Movement. I spoke to her earlier today about the current situation on the ground.
In Khalil, there's a lot of Israeli settlements right in the middle of the city, and there's a lot of checkpoints that children and teachers and everybody has to go through just to get from home to school or from home to the markets. And so one of the main things that the ISM does in Khalil is monitor the checkpoints before school and after school and just take note and witness everything that's going on. And it's believed that having an international presence there keeps the soldiers on slightly better behaviour most of the time. And, yeah, likewise with the mosques on a Friday, people have to go through a checkpoint just to get into the mosque to go and pray on a Friday. So monitoring that as well. And through the old city, there's settler tours every Saturday. So a whole lot of, like, one of the weekends I was there, there was about 120 settlers that came for a tour through the old city. And they were probably guarded by another 100 or so soldiers. And they tour them all through the Palestinian city. And most of the shops close down when that happens. And it's a pretty tense environment.
Wow, so these are settlers that are, what, potentially coming to move into the area?
Yeah, that's right.
And what is kind of the treatment? Is there much of a threat to them from locals? Is that why the kind of police presence is there? Or
I've got to say I didn't see any kind of issues from the Palestinian side while I was there. I mean, people have a pretty strong commitment to non-violent resistance. But, yeah, I guess it is one of those situations where, you know, these people are living under occupation and having a whole lot of settlers come into or through the city is pretty tense. So I guess there is a chance of conflict. And, I mean, the soldiers have a huge presence in Khalil anyway, just on an everyday basis. So there are, because they've built these settlements right in the city, you're talking only 100 metres between some of the Israeli settlements and the Palestinian villages or Palestinian suburbs. And so it is what I would call a system of apartheid, because there are Israeli-only roads, Israeli-only footpaths even. By one of the kindergartens, there's a Israeli footpath, and then next to it with a fence in between is the Palestinian footpath. And you have to walk through a checkpoint in order to even get onto a lot of the roads, and some of the checkpoints will close in the evening, so if people want to get to their homes without having to walk half an hour to an hour around around the other side of the city, then they have to go home before 9 o'clock at night and hope that they haven't closed the checkpoint early.
And I mean, how widespread is this? Was this just in Khalil, or did you see these kind of things across where you were travelling?
I think different parts of the West Bank have got different issues. So in Ramallah, which is the kind of the capital city on the West Bank, people are not having to see the occupation daily. It's quite regular for Israeli soldiers to come into Ramallah at night to go and arrest people or raid homes, but the settlements are not right there in the city, whereas in Al-Khalil there is settlements right there in the city, and it's affecting people on a daily basis. And then there's issues in a lot of villages where there's also settlements being built. And different villages have got different issues. So I went to a meeting in the South Hebron Hills where people were talking about the different issues for the villages around there. So some of them were talking about shepherds going out and facing issues of settler violence, or issues where if their flock went and, you know, if their flock, for example, went over into one of the Israeli areas, they wouldn't be allowed to go after their flock. Issues where it was said that one of the settlements is pumping sewage directly into Palestinian land. And another village I went to in Kupra Kadum, where they have Friday protests after mosque every week, and I went to one of those. They've got issues where a whole lot of settlements have been built right around the village within the last 4 to 5 years. And a few years ago, the Israeli forces came and bulldozed the road between Kufa Kadum and Nablus, which is a city near Ramallah. And they've built the settlements right there by their village. And the villagers are really worried that their village is not going to exist in a few years if the expansion of settlements continues. And so all over the West Bank where these settlements have been built, there have been house demolitions of Palestinian homes, and also people starting to feel very, very insecure and having to face the decision of staying put and resisting the occupation and taking a whole lot of the stuff that comes with that, or just leaving and going somewhere else.
So these protests, what do they hope to achieve through them, and how have they kind of been functioning?
I think the protests are really important in order to try to keep the stories coming out about what's going on in these places. So, you know, the protests are usually pretty peaceful. People will start in the village after mosque, they'll all congregate, and then they might march up the road with Palestinian flags. And usually what happens is the soldiers then come and then quite often the situation will escalate, whether it's by some children deciding to throw stones at the soldiers and that then becoming an excuse for the soldiers to use tear gas and start arresting people. But I mean, in a situation like in Kupra Kadum, we're talking the people marching on their own road of their own village, not trying to go anywhere near the Israeli settlements, just marching up to the end of their road and standing there and protesting. So to me, the idea that the soldiers even come in to the Palestinian village is very, very provocative, and it's not really any wonder that that leads to conflict.
Right, and there's also, despite, you know, some of these protests getting violent, there's also children involved, are there not?
There are, and I think that's something that I've heard a lot from various people who haven't been to a place like Kupra Kadum. You hear people criticising Palestinians for letting their children participate in these protests, and I think, for me, having been in Kupra Kadum, it was really apparent that if these children are not politicised, if these children are not educated about the occupation and what's going on, and they're not taught how to resist it and how to fight back, then in all likelihood their village is not going to exist in a few years. So this is these children's future. They are directly involved, and whether their parents let them attend protests or not, this affects them directly.
From the people that you encountered, do you think there's much hope among Palestinians that these settlements can actually be stopped?
I think that's a really difficult question. I think the people that I met, I'm trying to think how to describe this, there is a culture of resistance amongst the Palestinians, of non-violent resistance, and so you see people doing all sorts of things to resist, even though it impacts on their own lives. So, for example, in places where soldiers have set up checkpoints to that Palestinians have to cross in order to get to a person's shop, and that shop might then start losing money because they're getting no customers, but they'll stay open anyway, because to do otherwise is to accept being evicted from their home and being evicted from their livelihood. And so you see situations where people hold out for a really, really long time, even though it kind of makes no financial sense for them to stay there anymore. But they do, because they strongly believe that they have the right to do so. But where there's checkpoints as well and people are having to walk through them to get home, you know, the Israeli soldiers hold a list of Palestinians that actually live in the area, and you have to actually be on that list in order to go there. So people who live on the other side of the checkpoints, they can't have family and friends go and visit them at home, because those people won't be on the list and they won't be allowed through to visit. So even the idea that these people are staying there and are refusing to move or be evicted from their homes, I think is testament to how strongly they feel that they have the right to stay there in their homes with their families.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.